Thank you so much for tuning in. This is Conversations with Paul Nielsen. This is Paul. Today I have got a guest with me. Her name is Bailey Yanowski, and we talk about a lot of different things, about self-love, codependency, and a little bit about men's yoga pants. So let's jump in and listen in on the conversation. Who I've got with me today is Bailey Yanowski. She is I think we've known each other for, what, a year and a half, 2 years?
Yeah.
Yeah. So a little longer we worked together. She kind of wanted to come in and share her story, and I find her story completely fascinating, kind of how she's kind of transformed and is learning and has learned how to live authentically and be her best true self, which I think is an important, incredibly important subject that we all kind of need to learn.
Absolutely.
So let's just kind of just talk about that. What really started you on this path of doing this, of trying to live more authentically?
Well, I think, you know, just coming to terms with the fact that, you know, I was 30 going through kind of a major shakeup in my life. I think that's how a lot of these things kind of happen, unfortunately, or these unfortunate events that take place that kind of allow us to step back and look at ourselves and really evaluate who we are and what we want to do. So, you know, my first kind of like coach, you could say, or like inspiration that I had to better myself was one of my old party friends from back in the day, which, you know, I haven't really discussed this with you, so.
That's fine. I mean, okay. If you're comfortable doing it, let's talk about it.
Okay, sure. So I'm going to shout her out. She's awesome. She's actually a life coach. Her name is Chelsea Huntsman. Hi, Chelsea. but yeah, so we actually used to party together a lot. And so I just watched her completely do like a 180 from partying and just never having money and just kind of living, you know, the crazy life. And then to go to living in Hawaii, having a successful business as a coach, making tons of money. And I was like, obviously she knows something I don't, you know? And so I signed up and I was hesitant because it was a little, you know, pricier, but in the end it ended up being worth it to me because it was kind of the first step of me being like, I don't know where to go. This is someone I can turn to. What can I take away from this, right?
Yeah, yeah.
What I think my mistake was in that process is I jumped in way too soon, and meaning like I wasn't quite emotionally ready for what that entailed, because it's a process. And like those types of coaching, it's kind of all about like radical accountability and just making sure that you are holding yourself to a high standard as far as your expectations of yourself and your self-growth and the commitment to that. So I learned a lot about just empowerment, like as a woman, and ways that I can celebrate myself as a woman. And that kind of started my journey to self-love. But I think it was just like I wasn't fully giving myself 100% of like the time and the energy and that type of thing.
So why was that difficult to really kind of jump in? You said it was, I think I jumped in too fast. Why was that such a difficult transition for you?
I think just because of everything being the way that it was, I hadn't emotionally processed what I needed to, and I was like in denial about it. And I think part of it was that I wasn't willing to like accept myself for like, I wasn't ready to love myself that much. It was like too much. I don't know. I know that sounds crazy. It was like too much love at one time for myself, or too much commitment to myself. I don't know. It's kind of weird. It is weird to not give it 100%.
Well, I think the fact that you made that first step to jump in to something that you really weren't familiar with showed a lot of strength.
Thanks.
And I think that any time that you take that first step, I don't know that anybody is really ready for it.
Ready, yeah. And sometimes you have to just kind of like let yourself be comfortable with where you're at. And that's where I kind of also found self-love, is knowing that I wasn't moving as quickly as I wanted to, or as the course, you know, provided in the timeline that I had, which was like a short month, you know. But I was like, you know, this is stuff, the information that I can take with me forever, and also stuff I can refer back to. So it wasn't like it was missed opportunity. But yeah, I think we have to be patient with ourselves, and especially when it comes to processing those really difficult emotions, because it's not an overnight thing.
Oh, no, no. So you only went through it for, you said a month?
A month.
Mm-hmm. A month. So that was just how long the life coaching was.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of tools did you...
A month or two, I believe. Yeah.
A month or two. What kind of tools did you were able to take away? Because I'm sure that's helped, you know, past that month or two.
Right. I think just like having rituals for yourself, self-love rituals, time for yourself, self-care, you know, even if that's just like a bubble bath or just things that make you feel passionate for yourself and things that make you feel good. It was definitely specific for women. So just like empowering in the women's standpoint, mm-hmm. because there's so many parts of womanhood that's deemed as like taboo or like not okay.
Like what type of things?
Like,
because, you know, I'm not a woman. I don't know. What type of things are taboo that aren't good for womanhood? Because, I mean, I know for men,
right?
Growing up,
mm-hmm.
one of the biggest things that, you know, boys were taught, and this didn't necessarily happen in my home,
mm-hmm.
But just in society,
right.
at school or when you're out, boys aren't supposed to show emotion.
Right.
That's very taboo.
Mm-hmm.
They're supposed to be strong. They're not supposed to cry. They're not supposed to have that vulnerability.
Right.
And I think once boys or men find that it's okay to do that, mm-hmm. they become a much stronger man. Because I believe that vulnerability is 100% strength.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So what type of taboo things did you learn that that women aren't supposed to do?
Well, I think there's just a lot of suppression with our being able to express that we are multifaceted beings. Like, we can be spiritual, we can be sexual, we can be, you know, we can have periods and all these things, and it's okay.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
We don't need to make it, like, a bad thing. You know, society, like, represses all of it and, like, makes us feel shame about it. And it's like, this is who we are.
Mm-hmm.
Let's embrace that. This is part of the human experience, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So I think just... allowing ourselves to, like, partake of the beauty of it all and just experiencing, like, the little moments of celebration that we can is really, like, the biggest thing I took away from that course. And especially, like, in womanhood, but even it can be applied to anyone, really. And I think you made a good point. Like, that's a lot of the issues that I think our society still has with men not being able to show emotion, because that's not really talked about. It's still taboo.
It is a little bit. I think it's changing.
Yeah, I
mean,
I think
it's
so
definitely
too.
Definitely changing. We're more and more men are becoming more comfortable with it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's got a long ways to go.
Yeah, there's always room for improvement.
Mm-hmm. So what are some of the most significant type of celebrations, or even just the small celebrations that you do for yourself over the course of the day or the week or the month, or do you try to do those celebrations every day?
I think it's just noticing the little things that make you happy, you know, and you have to find what that is, because a lot of people will say, oh, well, little things don't make me happy. They can if you let them. You have to see the beauty in the moment. Like, living is a gift,
yeah.
You know, and I get it. Like, I've been really, really depressed, and it's really hard to see that when you're depressed,
yeah.
And we've all been there for the most part, I think, but like today, every day is a gift.
Mm-hmm.
And just knowing that, and like having children, I think has helped with that too. Just like realizing the significance of every moment.
Right.
And everything's a celebration with them. So it's kind of like, not to say that you have to have kids to understand what that's like.
No, but it's a good example.
It's put it in a good perspective for me, because it happens every single day.
Yeah, you have to.
Yeah.
Because I mean, you've got two kids that are relatively younger,
yeah.
right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've got four, you know?
Yeah.
So I definitely understand having that celebration every day. I mean, when you're potty training,
yeah,
they go to the potty, hooray,
it's a big deal.
Huge
yeah.
celebration,
and you are excited.
It's so insignificant though.
It is.
Yeah, they went to the bathroom and the toilet, but it's not, it's small, but it's those major milestones in their life.
Mm-hmm. Meaningful.
Yeah, it's meaningful, and mm-hmm. it makes them feel worthy
mm-hmm.
and good, like they've done something good.
And you can see that. And that's my favorite thing, is to watch them, like when you say something that makes them feel good
mm-hmm.
and to watch their reaction. Ooh, that's one of my favorite things of parenting.
Yeah.
When they don't even, like, they're so happy they're not paying attention to, like, how you're perceiving them, but they're reacting excited.
Yeah.
But it kind of goes back, like, we all have that inner child within us, right?
Yeah.
And that soul that's just longing for those experiences. And, like, looking through that lens of, like, our inner child eye, I think can just totally change everything. Like, seeing things for the first time as a child would, that just adds to the magic of life.
So tell me about a time that that happened recently, or not so recently, but what was the last time that you were able to see something within your inner child and you got excited about it?
I think today, even just like hanging out with, you know, I was coloring outside with sidewalk chalk with my niece and my daughter and just playing. It kind of just brought me back to like my childhood almost, like being mm-hmm. outside in the summer and playing with your friends and like, you know, things are much simpler back then. You don't have to worry about much. And like, that's what it kind of brought me back to. And in that moment, I wouldn't say there was anything like significant within each, anything that happened specifically. Mm-hmm. And I think that's okay too. Like, you know, moments can be what they are and we'll just let them be as they will. But mm-hmm. like just that experience in and of itself was rewarding for me.
Yeah.
Like watching my niece color for the first time with sidewalk chalk. I've never seen her do that.
Right.
So, yeah, that moment.
Just now, when you heard the water, I was pouring more coffee in my coffee cup, and it sounded a little funny.
yeah.
But I think, back to your point of watching and participating in the coloring of with the chalk,
mm-hmm.
it's exactly what you're talking about. It's
yeah.
It's going back to those simpler things.
Mm-hmm.
So when you go back to those simpler things, how does that help you live more authentically or more genuinely?
I think for me, and maybe this will resonate with certain people, maybe it won't, but I find the most joy in those moments that do bring me back to that inner child, because I need a lot of inner child healing. Like, my past hasn't been, you know, the greatest. And so it allows me to like relive that. And mm-hmm. then like, it just like heals my wounds in a way, you know, like repainting the picture of that pain that I might have felt and just embracing it all, like embracing being like, I'm okay, like things are good.
Just kind of restoring.
That's perfect. Yeah.
You know, I don't know if you've ever watched anybody restore a painting from, you know, the Baroque era or.
No, that's beautiful.
But they actually have these artists and I don't know the entire process of it, mm-hmm. but they're basically cleaning and retouching and repairing the damage mm-hmm. that's happened to that painting.
Yes. That's a perfect analogy.
You know, so it's, if we go back and do those childlike things,
mm-hmm.
we can kind of repair and clean and touch up those areas so we have a better sense of, I guess, our childhood in repairing those type of things.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
and that's helped you out, I'm assuming, as an adult.
Yeah, I think it gives us that like nourishment that we need. And anything, like any creative outlet, even if it's not significant, like, you know, sidewalk chalk, for instance, mm-hmm. can be really healing. And I think any creative endeavor can be very healing.
Yeah.
So, and big or small, you know, for mm-hmm. everyone. So,
absolutely. Yeah. What is it that you're doing creatively?
So creatively, I...
sidewalk chalk?
Yeah, basically. I think my creativity is a little bit different than like what people would like categorize it as. Like, I'm really terrible at art. I enjoy
that's
it,
okay.
but I'm bad at it.
Well, me too, but that's why I do a podcast.
Right.
Because it's a creative outlet.
Yeah.
Some people don't think it's like art,
right.
but there is absolutely an art form in doing that.
Yeah, and the way that you are speaking and portraying and like the mm-hmm. way that you can have this fluidity within your podcast, that's important.
Oh, absolutely. So we all have those creative things.
Right.
And it doesn't matter if it's categorized as art.
Right, yeah.
So what is it that you do that's
creative?
Yeah,
'cause creative is really fluid.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I want to talk about your podcast, too. Like, the process of this, the evolution. Because it's interesting. But, I think...
We'll talk about it.
Fashion is something I major on. Interior design is something I major on. So, kind of creative in a way.
Kind
but those
creative?
Are like hobbies. Those are more like hobbies.
Those are very creative things.
Oh, okay.
I mean, the ability to be able to create, you're creating clothing or you're creating a look.
Mm-hmm.
You're creating.
Yeah.
Creative. It's part of the word.
Part of it, yeah.
Just like when you walk into a room,
mm-hmm.
you know what you want to do with it to instill a certain feel or
right.
look to it.
Right.
Now you're making me a little subconscious about my front
no,
room.
No, it looks great, actually. Somehow I knew that was going to go there, but it looks great. No, I'm not like, I'm not a judgmental type either, though, by any means. It's just like, if I had the outlet to do it, to decorate or whatever, then so be it, you know?
So what are you doing? Is that what you want to do, like, professionally?
No. That's just a side gig. But I think creativity, like, I love to write. Mm-hmm. Like poetry or like different segments like that, more stuff like that, I would say, in the creative side of things. But yeah, that's kind of where I'm flowing in the creative way, which isn't that much, to be honest, but
I think you're selling yourself short. I really do.
Thanks.
Because you've just named off 3-4 different things that you do that's creative, and I don't know if it's really all that much you say, but it is.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter how big or small it is.
Right.
It's what you're passionate about.
Yeah, and I think that's important for people to realize, even just like creative thinking or whatever, you know, I'm sure people do think about that, but like creativity in and of itself is a very fluid form. And so some things can be creative and not really be categorized as art or the typical, like what you think of creative being, you know, but yeah, there's different forms. And that's, I think we all can resonate with that. And it's like a beautiful part of our soul's purpose in a way, and our expression of who we truly are, and like our heart's desires, if you will.
Yeah, it's definitely important.
Mm-hmm. So I do want to talk to you as well just a little bit about your podcast and like the evolution, because I don't think you've really discussed much of it.
No, I haven't. We can get into that.
So what inspired you to do this?
What inspired me to do a podcast?
Mm-hmm.
I've been seeing a therapist for about 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Not because there's anything inherently wrong with me.
Right.
And I've talked about this before in some of these past episodes.
Yeah.
It really stemmed out of honestly, it stemmed out of me wanting to go to therapy with my girlfriend at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And she said that she would. Scheduled appointments, found the therapist. Time came. She says, I'm too tired. I don't want to go. Can you cancel or reschedule? I said, well, I'll just go. And you can come to the next one.
That's really great. Like, that in and of itself, is really great that you would be willing to do that. Because I think a lot of people can get dragged down too easily by their partners if they let their partner have too much control. Just being like, oh, you know what? Yeah, you're right. Let's not go.
Yeah. Well,
you could have easily done that.
Oh, easily.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it was an hour beforehand.
Right.
I'd rather go and get what I pay for
mm-hmm.
versus not go and still have to pay.
Yeah.
And then some, because I'm canceling an hour beforehand.
Yeah.
So I might as well go. And at the job that I was at the time, they were paying for it. So it wasn't really costing me anything to go, but it would have cost me something to not go.
Yeah, it's so valuable.
So I decided I was going to go anyway. And we talked about it and talked a little bit. And the next week or next 2 months or whatever, 2 weeks or whatever it was, same excuse.
Mm-hmm.
And this just kind of happened over 3-4 different sessions.
Right.
And I said, you know what? It's fine. I'll just go. I'm getting something out of this. Anytime you want to come, mm-hmm. cool. But it looks like it's not something that you really want to do.
Right.
So we just kind of working through different things and different subjects and questions that I had and things. And again, nothing that I'm absolutely working on personally.
Right.
It's very subjective about things.
Mm-hmm.
Like last time I went, we talked about the difference between being mentally rigid and mentally or emotionally rigid and emotionally flexible.
Mm-hmm.
And just learned.
Yeah.
You know, so it's something like that. There was about a year and a half ago, she asked me, what are you doing creatively?
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't doing anything. Nothing.
That's interesting that you mm-hmm. mentioned that after we talk about creativity. I'm loving this. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, yeah, I wasn't doing anything creative.
Right.
All I did was work.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I mean,
right.
when we worked together, I was there 7 days a week,
yeah,
10 hours a day.
An exceedingly amount of time. Yeah. Like more than anyone I've seen.
Yeah.
You're
so,
a hard worker.
So that's just, thanks. I try. So that's just, that's what my life was.
Yeah.
Get up, go to work, come home, spend time with the girlfriend, spend time with the kids, make dinner, do whatever I needed to do around the house, go to bed, get up and do it again. Right. 7 days a week. It's exhausting. Mm-hmm. And no outlet.
It's really draining too.
Yeah.
Like emotionally, mentally, because you're not giving anything to yourself, basically.
Right.
Yeah.
I was giving everything to everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that I've learned, that that's not healthy. Mm-mm. To do that.
Yeah.
So since then, I've cut back working as much as I did. So I don't, I got more time to do what I want to do.
Yeah.
So I started talking about it.
Right.
About doing a podcast.
Mm-hmm.
A year and a half ago.
Wow.
And every time I'd really start thinking about, well, yeah, I really should do this, it was always excuses.
Mm-hmm.
Always excuses. It's going to cost too much. I don't have the right equipment. I don't have the time. I don't have this. I just don't have the ability to do it.
Right.
And it's all excuses.
Mm-hmm. And we all do it.
Oh, yeah.
We all procrastinate.
I think it was more than procrastination for me. It was me being afraid to put myself out in a position that people would know who I am.
Mm-hmm. It's vulnerable.
Oh, it's very vulnerable.
But it's beautiful, and it's, like you said, it's strength. And it really just shows, like, your power.
Yeah. I was afraid that no one would want to listen to what I have to say.
And look at that, how that's changed. People from France.
I do have somebody bonjour, out of Paris that listens. It'd be nice to know who you are. But even if I don't get to meet them or talk with them, then that's okay too. It's just fun to see.
Mm-hmm.
So I, after this breakup of this relationship, it was pretty traumatic. I just decided this is the time.
Mm-hmm.
No more excuses about this.
Right.
I'm going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I just started doing it. I put the money into it, and honestly, it wasn't as much as I expected.
Mm-hmm.
And I was always afraid that, if I put the money into this, then I won't have it for that. And it always works out.
Right.
You know, you can always work a little extra more or figure out some sort of side thing and earn the money to do it that way.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I started it, as a creative outlet.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, it has been, it's a lot of work.
Right.
But since then, it's one of those things that I look forward to doing it. I enjoy it.
How do you feel like that's helped fulfill your life in as far as, like, your self-love and where you're at as far as your happiness and that type of thing?
Aren't I supposed to be interviewing you?
Okay, last question.
You're fine. I mean, honestly, the name of the podcast is Conversations with Paul Nielsen.
Exactly.
This is a conversation. We're
yes,
good.
It is.
How has that helped my creativity and my self-love and things? You know, another one of my other sessions with my therapist, I had mentioned about leaving a legacy or what I want.
Mm-hmm.
And she looked at me and said, Paul, you're going through a midlife crisis. That's what you're doing. People get to a point where they built everything up.
Right.
And there's no more building to do. Now, I've got a lot of building to do still, but it's at that point in their life that it's at that point in their life that they want to start giving back.
Mm-hmm.
They've taken care of their home. They've taken care of kids. They've taken care of everything. They're secure in what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And then now what?
Mm-hmm.
And that's really what a midlife crisis is. It's a transition from building to giving back.
Yeah, and that's so beautiful because I think it can always be so misinterpreted, and if people don't have a therapist to show them the way or have that, like, spiritual awakening, or if you will, whatever you want to call it, that allows them to see, like, outside of, like, the big picture, like, okay, well, what is it that, why am I feeling this way, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's when I think you hear about, like, what you perceive as a midlife crisis, which is, like, people buying, like, a Harley or being reckless or, you know what I mean? Like, just doing something out of character.
Well, that's part of it. They're trying to regain their youth.
Yes.
And they're trying to regain some of that. There's two different ways.
Mm-hmm.
You can relive the good old days, if you will.
Right.
Or you go and move forward and you start giving back.
Mm-hmm.
So part of that, this process is me being able to realize is I have a platform mm-hmm. that I'm able to give back.
Yeah.
I'm not a Bill Gates that has billions and millions of dollars.
Most of us aren't.
Yeah, yeah.
Most of us aren't.
If you look at him, and I know there's differing opinions about him, but if you look at him, he started a foundation. Mm-hmm. He's giving back.
Exactly.
You know, a lot of people do that.
Mm-hmm.
This is my way to be able to give back. This is my way of being able to preserve my legacy.
Yeah.
I've got audio files.
I know.
For my kids, my grandkids, and their kids.
That's so brilliant. It really is.
So it's a way for me to be remembered.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully somebody gets something out of it.
Absolutely.
Hopefully my kids will listen to it, and my grandkids will listen to it, and they will get to know me a little bit more, even if I'm gone.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big part of it.
Yeah.
Not only is it creative, but it gives me an opportunity to give back.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
And it's like a win-win, basically. I feel like any type of work that's in that element is, like, so fulfilling because it's, like, you're giving and you're getting back. And yeah. It's just fills your heart.
I think anytime you give,
yeah,
you get.
Yeah. And that is absolutely true.
You know, I don't think there's ever... We're not motivated by being selfless.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to an extent.
Mm-hmm.
But we're always getting something back. So there's no way of truly being selfless.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
There's always going to be a little bit of selfishness there. And it's okay.
Because we're human. And yeah. That's part of our experience.
Yeah.
As long as it's like filtered through the right outlets, then that's even better, right? Mm-hmm. That we're connecting with our higher selves. Like, yeah, I can do this. I can be selfish, but like, you know, have it be formed in the right ways.
Mm-hmm.
Like self-love, taking care of yourself first so that you can be there for everyone else.
Right.
So you're not always just give. Because yeah. That is real. It really is draining. It's exhausting. You can't do it I don't think anyone can because it's just without some type of retribution, don't you think?
It's draining.
Yeah.
And you've got to, I know there's a lot of people that have helped doing it.
Yeah.
Whether that's a spouse or a parent or somebody that gives a little, that helps out in those times where, mm-hmm. and we all get there. I mean, mm-hmm. we're single parents. We understand there's those points where it's just,
too much.
I'm done.
Yeah.
I can't do
this. One person cannot do it all the time.
No.
Like, it is literally impossible.
It's
100%.
Rough. Yeah, it is 100% rough, and you have to have those breaks.
Yeah.
And if you've got that opportunity to have a parent or a grandparent or a friend or your ex-spouse or somebody that can jump in and do that and mm-hmm. help you in those times,
yeah,
then it's invaluable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm lucky that I've got the fact that when I get to that point,
mm-hmm.
my parents live in California.
Mm-hmm.
There have been times where I've called up my mom and said, I can't do this. I need help.
Yeah.
And it's at that point where I'm just spent.
Right.
Because I'll go and go and go, and I will, I'll push through it.
Yeah.
But there's always those points, and it's happened a couple times over the last 6 years.
I believe that. You know? If it's only happened a couple times, I think you're doing better than most of us.
And I'm saying, what I'm saying it happened a couple times, I'm saying I cannot physically do this right now.
Right.
Where I can no longer push through it. I can no longer do it. Last time I called my mom up on a Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
The next morning she was driving up.
Wow.
You know,
that's
and
great.
I'm grateful for that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've got a situation with my ex-wife that she sometimes can't do it.
Right.
Not because she doesn't want to, but she just mentally can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
She's got some mental illness issues that she's working through, and she's managing them tremendously. But having four kids for her to manage in a small apartment for her is too much.
Yeah,
it's not gonna do that.
Mm-hmm.
Thankfully, my kids are a little older.
Right.
You know, so I can also take off for an evening
mm-hmm.
and have time by myself, or go out with friends, or do whatever I need to do.
Right.
And I'm lucky that I've got that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know your kids are a little smaller and a little
younger.
So it's a little more difficult to say, okay, mom, mom's going out.
Yeah.
I'm going out to dinner with some friends.
Yeah, I do have the help of my mom, though, so that
does
it
help.
Really does help, because there's times, you know, that you just need, like, someone to change a diaper for you, something like, you know, just those little things that you're like, seriously, you know, if they fight back or anything, just becomes that much extra challenging, or you just need, like, 10 extra minutes in bed.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, you know, it is nice to have that support.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. And so I'm glad you mentioned that, because sometimes I don't feel like I'm as grateful as I should be. Because it's hard when you're, like, I have to keep reminding myself I am a single parent.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that's a hard reality to face. Like, I don't know why.
Why is it so hard for you to face that you're a single mom or a single parent?
It just feels so defeating. Like as if to say, like, oh, you're right. That's my title now. I'm a single mom. Like, I think everyone just thinks that they have a projection of what their life's going to be. And so when that expectation's not met, I'm not someone to, like, really, like, handle the truth well when it comes to just little things that set you off, you know, after certain events take place that, and I don't know why that's one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm more comfortable with it now, but it's just something that just, like, it sounds funny to me. Like, it sounds...
You're more comfortable with the title single mom?
No, well, I'm more comfortable with it now, yeah, now that I've processed. But I remember the first time someone told me that, like, oh, I can't imagine what it's like to be a single mom. It kind of, like, stunned me in a way of, like, oh, yeah, you're right. Like, ooh. Like, you know what I mean? Like, ooh, yeah, that's, like, a harsh reality to just be slapped over the head with. Like, that's my title. Like, nobody wants to be known as, like, oh, hi, I'm divorced and a single parent. You know what I mean? Like, but there's more to it, obviously.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't trade being a mother for anything, so I'm okay with it. But it's just like, I don't know. I think it was my issue that I had to deal with. Like, my demon of, like, oh, I have to fit this mold of what we deem as perfect, right? It was like my perfectionistic tendencies reflecting in what I perceived as, like, oh, that's kind of considered a failure, right? But it's not, obviously.
No. How did you get over that? How did you kind of break that mold of saying, I'm a single mom, I'm a failure, instead of morphing it into, I'm a single mom?
Because there's more to it. This, I think, and you know this too, like, it goes kind of back to, we are multifaceted creatures.
Mm-hmm.
We're not just a parent. We're not just, like, our work. We are living beings that are capable of so many amazing things that it's pretty beautiful. And I think part of, like, this whole endeavor that's really kind of allowed me to open up, and I don't really want to get too preachy here, is just, like, my spiritual experiences and, like, this whole way of my life kind of heading. And it wasn't really even in my plan. It was just kind of like taking the signs and signals and understanding what that meant for me personally, because I know not everyone resonates with that, and that's totally fine. It's like, whatever feels good in your heart, that's what you should vibe with.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's 100%. Like, whatever you resonate with, that's what you should do.
Mm-hmm.
Period.
So would you credit that path of going down to that spiritual path as helping you kind of break that mold of, I'm a failure because I'm a single mom?
I think so. I think it just allowed me to see things in such a bigger perspective. You know, we have to think about outside of ourselves, too. So we have to love ourselves and understand that, yes, we're important and special, but there's also so much more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, this is all bigger than us. But, like, the things that we do that make ourselves a legend are what we leave behind, like you said, and, like, kind of our signature mark in the world, if you will.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people don't think long term. We're all just so momentary, like, short term happiness, short term whatever, instead of being like, okay, but long term. You know, it's kind of like you said, sometimes we have to make sacrifices for things, but it can be very much rewarding.
Oh, yeah.
As being a parent, or, you know, any endeavor that we kind of put ourselves into, businesses, whatever it is, like, that's where, like, you know, the legacy lies, the passion lies, the happy, you know, the fulfillment, really, the soul fulfillment, if you will.
Yeah. So what is it that you want your legacy to be? Where does that lie? What are you doing every day to fulfill that legacy? And what is it that you want it to be?
I think, you know, as far as spirituality, I try to learn something new about spirituality every single day. I try to meditate very often every day. I try to just be in touch with my higher source, if you will. But I think part of like the legacy I want to leave is just being a humanitarian and helping people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been a goal of mine like since I was little. So I know this is like kind of one of those like things.
Deep rooted in you.
And I kind of forgot about it. It was like one of those, I don't know why I forgot about it. It was kind of like, it felt so far fetched. It was always one of those, tuck it away. Oh, that would be awesome. But you know, that probably not going to happen type of situations.
Why do you think we do that? You know, just tuck things away and say, well, that's
too far fetched.
Too far fetched. Like my daughter, Lexi.
Yeah.
When you came into the studio here, you had asked me, Paul, do you play the guitar?
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, I tinker with it, but it's not mine. It's Lexi. So there's a bass here and there's a cello that's playing. And it just, your face kind of like, really?
Yeah.
She's playing all of these things?
Right.
And we didn't even mention the keyboard and the ukulele that she's got down in her room.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, and that's just because I'm a proud dad that
I
brag on her. And she's got an amazing ear and an amazing singing voice.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe if after this I can get her to play something.
Mm-hmm.
Probably not, because she's really self-conscious about it. But regardless, where was I going with this?
Yeah. Tucking things away.
Oh, tucking things away. Her biggest thing is she wants to be a musician,
mm-hmm.
and a producer and a sound engineer. And not just for little things here and there, but she wants to be massive.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a 1 in a million chance,
right,
for her to make it as a musician.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm a little biased, mm-hmm. but I think that she's got the talent to do it.
Right.
But even then, when you've got the talent to do it, it's a grind.
It is a grind.
It is still a 1 in a million chance, even if you've got the talent.
Right. And that's where the passion really helps, just like
right.
keep and that going. Yeah.
I try to encourage it.
Yeah.
Because that's her passion. That's what she wants to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of why I built part of the studio, so she can start learning how to mix and record and things.
Right.
Now, it's not there yet, but I encourage her to do that,
mm-hmm.
even though I probably know it's not, she's probably not going to be this big recording studio artist.
But you can. I mean, you're infusing the logic.
The odds are against her.
Right.
But if she works hard enough and is keeps pushing, she can do it.
Yeah.
And if anything, she can be a producer. And mm-hmm. the odds are she's got better odds doing that.
Well, that's a starting point.
Well, it's absolutely a starting point.
And I think that's something that we also forget, too. And this is kind of like going full circle. So I'm glad that you mentioned that, because we can also, if our dream is really big, there's stepping stones along that way. And that's not to say we're going to know every single part of the process. But if we know realistically how big of a goal that is and how much it's going to take to get there, we can also know what are the steps I can take along the way that can benefit me with skills that I'll need for that, mm-hmm. and ultimately lead me to a place of that point or something similar.
Oh, absolutely.
Right? So I think that's cool, too, to like take in mind that part of the plan of like step by step by step by step.
Right. I think and things change.
And things do change.
Extremely.
Yeah. And that's when
I was her age,
yeah,
the music industry, it was run by the corporate music labels.
Mm-hmm.
How many people are just throwing stuff up on YouTube?
So many.
Just writing songs, recording them, and throwing them up on Spotify.
Right.
My boss, or my boss's boss, a few years ago, she's not a recording artist. She had a top 10 song on Spotify.
That's amazing.
Amazing. So anybody can really do it,
mm-hmm.
and capitalize on it. But I think the point that we were trying to loop back around to is
mm-hmm.
that sometimes
right.
we tuck those massive dreams away,
mm-hmm.
and we tell ourselves that it can't be done.
Right.
Because it's too big. The odds are too great.
Mm-hmm.
But if the odds were too great, then nobody would be there.
Exactly.
We wouldn't have the music. We wouldn't have the art. We wouldn't have, you know, these things.
Mm-hmm.
We wouldn't have culture. I mean, art and music and food and all these different things, it's all part of culture.
Mm-hmm.
But if everybody believed that, oh, it's a 1 in a million chance, I'm never going to do that, so I'm not going to try, we wouldn't have these things.
Exactly.
So I don't understand why so many of us just tuck that away and not want to do that.
I think there's a few different things, to be honest.
What do you think they are?
I think one of them is obviously fear. I think we are so afraid of, you know, the possible outcome of it not working out the way we anticipated, mm-hmm. that we allow that to overcome any type of value of what we think could be. I think some of it can be influences surrounding us, and especially if it's people that are important to us, that we care about, you know, because mm-hmm. I think oftentimes we all do care about what people think about us. I mean, let's be real. In a way. I hate to say that, like, that's the reality, but it kind of is for most of us.
Yeah, we care about what other people think. We want to be liked.
Yeah,
it's perfectly normal and human nature to want to be liked.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
And so I think we want to make people that we love happy.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think sometimes when we feel, let's say, like, unsupported in the way that we feel would be the right way for us to go, we can try to kind of put those, you know, tuck those dreams away. So I think it depends on your support system, your belief in yourself, and just, you know, your plan.
Mm-hmm. Is that why you think you kind of tucked away your dreams and tucked away things that you want to do with this humanitarian goal that you have?
I think so. I think it was, yeah, it just felt too far-fetched. It was kind of like one of those, oh yeah, like how though? Like, with the plan, you have to have some logic, right? Because I'm a big dreamer. I'm so into dreaming. Like, that's my thing.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to the plan, I know I'm not the best at that. But I knew that there was obviously, my logical side was saying, well, there's no way you can just get to that, right?
Yeah.
But I was like, but I didn't know how to allow myself to find steps along the way. Until I found like a YouTube video with some lady doing tarot one day when mm-hmm. I was working. It just came up on like an ad and I was kind of listening to it like on my lunch and that type of thing. Yeah. And then I really, really got into it. And then I realized, oh yeah, I've been doing tarot for 5-6 years. This is something I'm actually interested in.
Yeah.
And so not that I'm doing that right now and I'm still kind of deciding what I want to do spiritually. But what I realized at that point, my dream kind of came back to me and something inside me told me this is the first step. As in to say, this is in the end goal, but mm-hmm. this is the step in the direction that you need to take.
Yeah.
So it was kind of like just part of that reopening that mindset of, oh, wait, yeah, there can be parts to this process. And I can understand that, yes, this is unrealistic. Yes, this is difficult to reach. But I can go steps towards that route that will lead me, hopefully, eventually to that point. Yeah.
Yeah. But sometimes that end goal isn't what we imagined it to be. Sometimes exactly. It'll take a turn and it's better.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I'm a strong believer in doing things every day
mm-hmm.
towards making that goal happen.
Yes.
It's the small little things.
Mm-hmm.
Every day, tomorrow I'll be different than I am today.
Mm-hmm.
The day after that I'll be different than I was yesterday, tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Every day we change. It's those small little changes that create massive changes in us, in our hearts, in our personality, in our goals, mm-hmm. in the way we treat ourselves, or vice versa.
Right.
You know, it could be a detriment to us, depending on mm-hmm. what those small little decisions are.
Yep.
And I think it has to be a very conscious...
Oh, so conscious, yeah.
Decision-making.
Almost like looking at yourself from an outside perspective and being like, where could I do better?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So what are you doing every day to make sure that you're heading in that right direction? I know you mentioned you've got like routines that you do.
Right.
Walk me through some of those routines that you do.
So in the morning, I'll wake up. I always read my cards, like tarot mm-hmm. cards, at least once throughout the day. I'll try to get the kids. Sometimes they're willing. Sometimes they're like all about it. Sometimes they're just not into it, which is great. Either way, yeah. I'm like, I can't fault them. They're, you know, still toddlers, so... that's something I like to take into, and then I really will try to meditate with my kids. Mm-hmm. There's some days that it's like there's no chance because they're just too like restless, it's not the right time or whatever it is, but I'll try to make that part of my plan. So just things like that, and just like there's days I can just feel like a resonance like with that being more in touch. Like, I can tell I'm more in tune, because I think we all have different levels of energy, and mm-hmm. we can kind of tell, like, okay, today I'm in tune, you know, certain days. And when I say in tune, I'm talking, like, intuition.
Yeah.
Because we all have intuition, too. And I think we all forget that, and it's not something we all listen to enough, because we get conflicted with, okay, is this just the voice of reason or the voice that I listen to, or is this, like, my gut instinct?
Why can't they be both?
I think it can be both. And I think the subconscious has a good way of pulling in the logic with that initial mm-hmm. reaction, right?
Right.
So, yeah, I think it can be both, absolutely. That's, like, the best combination, actually, right?
I think so.
And I think it's beautiful, like, how you talked about with what you've been through and just allowing that transformation to take place. And it is something to think about every day. We can do little things, because it can be super overwhelming when we have, I want this and I want to go to this next step. Even if it's just the next step, it can be really overwhelming. Like, but how do I get there? I don't feel like I'm there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you said, those goals, those daily things
yeah.
to help prepare us to be that person.
Yeah, every day is a new day. Every day you have decisions and things that you need to do.
Mm-hmm.
And there's small little choices
mm-hmm.
as far as what you can make.
Mm-hmm.
You know, small little choices of, am I going to do this or am I going to do that?
Mm-hmm.
Am I going to make this decision at work or am I going to make that decision at work?
Mm-hmm.
Is this person is acting this way? Am I going to choose to ignore that or am I going to choose to say something about it?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. if I choose to say something about it, how do I choose to say something about whatever he's talking about or they're talking about?
Exactly.
You know, there's all these little decisions.
Yeah.
When you mention your routine
mm-hmm.
and the things that you like to do,
mm-hmm.
your kids are always involved with it.
Yeah.
So what is it that you are doing just for you?
At night, I like to educate myself with spirituality. I like to listen to different things. It's like kind of all over the map with things.
Like what type of things?
Like, you know, some nights I'll listen to about astrology. Sometimes I'll listen about parenting. Like, I always try to make something part of a learning
mm-hmm.
situation. Something. Even if it's just something minor.
Yeah.
And I'm not like a quick learner or anything like that, but it's just if I can pick up anything,
uh-huh.
that's good, right?
Yeah.
That's better than not.
Oh,
so,
yeah. Continually learning.
Yeah, exactly. So I would say I do try to read an article or listen to something online, take notes, that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I do want to bring up Mind Valley courses online, like for anyone that's into like self-development and growth. That's something that I found interesting.
Mind Valley.
Yeah, they do really cool courses on like basically any type of self-growth. So it's not just spiritual stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's like anything that you think that you want to learn about. They even have like the newest one that they had is how to become a better learner, like
mm-hmm.
how to be faster at learning things so that you can, like, you know, increase your time that you have to learn to be, like, that much ahead of the curve. But they do, basically how they do things is they'll do, like, an hour-long course, and then, of course, like, the rest you have to pay for,
right?
If you want to get fully integrated to, like, the whole course itself.
Right.
But you at least have an hour of knowledge, like, so even if you don't want to have to pay for it or whatever it is.
You get an hour with it.
Yeah, and yeah. it's worth it because they do teach you a lot throughout the process. It's not just like a sales pitch.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's an interesting platform I wanted to mention because I think a lot of people would find it very, very interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There we are. Yeah. Mind Valley. So what is the noticeable things that you've noticed within yourself starting on this path
mm-hmm.
From the time that you were separated and divorced and things
mm-hmm.
to now, what are the little things or the big things that you've noticed within yourself learning about how to love yourself, learning about how to live authentically, learning about spirituality?
Mm-hmm. I think just like the fact that we can all be alchemists, and when I say alchemists, I mean taking the negative, transmuting it into something beautiful,
mm-hmm.
because it's kind of like your situation. You could have taken that breakup and been like, oh, my life is over,
mm-hmm.
you know, let me be depressed and just, you know, fall off on a bender or something. I don't know. But, like, you know, we all have that choice. It's like you said.
Yeah.
And in those instances, we're called to make even bigger choices because we're faced with bigger obstacles or bigger life, you know, changes.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of when we're really called to step up and decide how we're going to choose to better ourselves, because we're basically backing ourselves into a corner, or life has backed us into a corner. It's like, hey, you can go left or you can go right.
Right.
You can decide, but that's it, you know? There's really no other option. So I think we all have the capacity to take something that's been seemingly depressing or sad and make it, you know, get better from it, make ourselves better from it. And what I think we've both taken away, that I could say maybe for both of us, if you agree, is that, you know, just because you're empathetic and loving and understanding doesn't mean that you're codependent.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like to stress that, because I feel like a unicorn because of that now. Because I'm like, how many people fall into that? Because it's just part of like this human psychological situation that a lot of us empaths, if you will, we'll just find ourselves in, even if we're not necessarily codependent by nature, because that type of energy is just going to attract people that know they could take it.
Right.
Right?
Right. What you put out is what you get.
Yeah, exactly.
So is that kind of where you're coming from, is a sense of being codependent and then changing that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It was really eye-opening for me to realize that, like, this is something that I needed to change, because I was falling into those patterns within my relationships.
How did you recognize those patterns?
Just thinking back to myself of like, okay, this seems to be on repeat here. This is almost like I dated a couple of the same type of people, or, you know, whatever it was, that it was like, I'm not learning something. Mm-hmm. What is it that I need to change? And that's where we talked about this too, is where we have to self-evaluate ourselves. Like,
yep.
You know, that accountability of like, well, I obviously had a part to play. Where did I go astray? Or what was my weakness in that situation? And mine was that I was codependent. And so the self-love that I've obtained from being single and having these, like, situations occur has been really beautiful. And I think mind, body, soul, all of us need to go through that, right?
Yeah. Explain mind, body, soul. Explain that to me.
I think, like... When I say mind, body, soul, that's like part of our evolution. That's kind of like, to me, that's almost like a lifelong process. And I feel like I'm just barely delving into that, because, you know, I was on antidepressants and I was just kind of like numbing to the pain. And coming off of them was quite an awful experience. But now that I'm like kind of awakened in that I'm an emotional being, I have a lot of emotions to filter through. I feel like this is the best way to cope, because instead of like bypassing those pains and those wounds, I'm having to face them head on.
Yeah.
I'm having to face the ugliness of myself, you know, that those things that you don't like about yourself, or the situations that you put yourself in, or, you know, things that you've been through that were just unjust and that felt really like unfair.
Do you want to talk about any of those situations?
Not necessarily. I mean, okay. I think that we all go through some things in life, and that can be really challenging. Mm-hmm. But what I think the most important thing that we can take away from that is, okay, where did I go wrong?
Yeah, self-reflection.
Self-reflection.
Because there's always two parts.
Mm-hmm.
Always.
And with relationships, you can't build on something that has a faulty foundation to begin with. Mm-hmm. And that's something else I've had to take away. It's kind of like how you said, you can't just go all willy-nilly into a relationship because it seems fun at the time. Like, that's not a good enough foundation.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, you can go willy-nilly in a relationship.
You're right. You can. And I've done it. So, you're absolutely right.
All done that, you know? And I think that's where we kind of learn is willy-nilly is not the best thing.
No, absolutely not.
I mean, sometimes it's fun.
Oh,
it's
it can be
absolutely
the most fun.
Yeah. But it gets old.
It does.
Really, really fast.
Yes.
I kind of talked about this in the last episode.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we get to this point where we're so infatuated and so involved that we start ignoring these red flags.
Mm-hmm.
We go willy-nilly because we're all messed up. We got all these gooey feelings. And gooey feelings is gooey, and no one wants to touch gooiness.
Yeah.
It's gross.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like it. There's only one other thing that I don't like, that I hate more than gooiness.
What is that?
Snakes.
Okay, I did not see that one coming.
Yeah, snakes. I'm not a big fan.
Yeah, I'm not crazy about them either.
No. I had one. I don't know how it happened. There was a snake on my counter the other night.
No.
Yeah, little garter snake. It's about 6 inches long.
The universe is testing you to face your fear.
Yeah, I had my kids do it. Take care of it. Nope. I tried.
You know what? That's all that matters. Nope. If you try, I mean, you'll have another experience.
And I'm telling you, I tried for like 10 seconds. Like, nope, can't do this.
Yeah, you're like,
not going to happen.
You're like, why am I going to put myself through this when you guys are going to be okay with it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they did it. But I think the infatuation and these gooey feelings messes up.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we need to be a little more stable and a little more deliberate when we get into these relationships.
Yes.
Especially if we have a tendency of being codependent,
mm-hmm.
if we have a tendency of ignoring red flags.
Mm-hmm.
Some people don't have that.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people do, but I think there are some people that don't have to deal with that. And I hate those people for that.
Yeah.
But good for you.
Yeah. I know. I'm not sure how that's a thing. Like, how does that happen?
I don't know. I've never had that thing. You know, I've never.
I mean, obviously. I'm not even sure what you're talking about right now, Paul. That's how lost I am.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what.
That's a thing?
Starting.
People get that? What?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know how people have successful relationships. Obviously, every one of my relationships have failed because I'm single. But of course, everyone does except the one that doesn't.
Right.
So I think it's more deliberate. And when we learn about those things, like you learn that you're a codependent,
mm-hmm.
then we can go ahead and change how we approach that.
Awareness is half the battle, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
The other half is falling through.
Mm-hmm. And that can be really, really a hard part.
Mm-hmm.
It can. Because there's moments that we all have of weakness.
Absolutely.
And there's times that we will be tested.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That I can say that. I can attest to that. And I think that's also partially what I did wrong in the past.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a moment of weakness, someone that was there conveniently at the seemingly right time, but probably the worst possible time because I was not in a good place. But because I wasn't in a good place, I thought that was normal. That was the good thing, mm-hmm. right? So, yeah. I think just if we have that awareness within ourselves and allow ourselves to love ourselves in a big way, not just like, oh, okay, I've loved myself for, you know, a day. I'm good.
It doesn't work that
long
way.
Long term, like true love, like love yourself for everything you are.
How do you get to that, though? How do you get to that point where you have such a deep love within you for yourself? And I think everybody kind of struggles with that at some point.
Mm-hmm.
How do you think that we get to that point?
I think connectedness with, you know, people that we love is important for that. And I think because we all need love and we all see ourselves in everyone else because we're the same. And just being able, and I love this quote, or I don't know if it's like this is the exact way that it goes, but just kind of the way this thought process, like the values that you see in others are a reflection of what you are as yourself. So like what you see in others, those good traits, you have them also. You might not be aware of it or you might not have tapped into it. And that's a very powerful thing that I do want to say that Chelsea taught me and that I've seen again and again. And it's such a good reminder. And I hold value to that now because I think it's true. And when you adjust your mind frame to think that way, it's like, whoa, I'm a cool person.
Yeah.
You know, if I can admire these qualities in someone else, that means I have them also.
Mm-hmm.
Because otherwise you wouldn't hold value to it because it wouldn't be recognizable, in my opinion. I don't know.
I think once you recognize them
and
you see them in somebody else,
mm-hmm.
you can then turn around and recognize them in yourself.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But how do you recognize them, or how do you unlock that or untap those qualities that you have that you didn't necessarily know you had?
I think journaling is really helpful for that. I think talking with people that are helpful to you and the right people for you. Mm-hmm. I think meditation. I think just being with yourself is so important. Just having that time with yourself, whatever you're doing, recognizing where you're at. And, you know, for me, of course, I'm going to add this one in. You guys are going to be like, is enough of the about the spirituality.
No.
Has been helpful for me.
I think that resonates with a lot of people.
Yeah.
I mean, spirituality is such an important aspect in many people's lives.
Mm-hmm.
Many people's lives.
Mm-hmm.
A connection to a higher power source or a higher God or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you mentioned it earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Do what makes you happy.
Yeah.
If that brings you joy and happiness and makes you a better person,
yeah,
do it.
1,000%. And I don't like to be like, oh, I'm this spiritualist and stuff, because I've been on the dark path. Like, I've been through some crazy stuff. I went through partying. I did not respect myself. There were certain times I look back and I'm ashamed of who I was. Like, it's not pretty. But I'm grateful because it's allowed two things. It's allowed, well, maybe three. I don't know. It's allowed me to learn
mm-hmm.
from those mistakes, which is the most important thing.
Yeah.
It's allowed me to become more aware and not to judge others that are at that place, because I've been there.
Yeah.
So it's like, I can't fault you for where you're at in life, because I've been there, you know? So I think that's helped me like relate to people and see myself in people. And everybody will find their time of like finding themselves and what resonates. It's just a matter of when or under what circumstances. And some people seem to know that like quite early. I don't know.
I think we all find it at different times.
Yeah.
You know, it's taken me 6 years to get to where I'm at.
Yeah.
Because I could tell you I didn't love myself.
Right.
When I was divorced.
And relationships can really put a like stagnation on that.
Okay.
If you're with the wrong person.
Oh, absolutely.
And if you don't love yourself, because oftentimes if you don't love yourself, you're not going to be with the right person.
No.
In my opinion. No. Unless you're with some just crazy cool person. And at that point...
They're out there.
Yeah. Well, you know, we were those people for certain people. I mean, I don't want to toot my own horn and say I was perfect, but truly...
Toot your own.
Truly.
It's okay to
recognize when we were good, right?
Like, oh, absolutely. We have to. We have to know, recognize it.
Yeah, because it's like, that's part of our plan, and we can't just, like, sometimes it's like, oh, what was the point of that? You know, sometimes it can feel so mm-hmm. defeating, but big picture, there's always, like, something that we're going to take away from that was more than what deterred.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely, like, 100%.
There are no... There are bad relationships,
mm-hmm.
but there are no bad breakups.
Right.
Because, well, it depends on how you look at it.
Yes.
If you look at a breakup as an opportunity to learn,
mm-hmm.
a new beginning,
yep.
Then it's not a bad breakup.
Right.
There could be traumatic breakups.
Mm-hmm.
There could be painful breakups.
Life-altering. Very life-altering.
But that doesn't mean it's bad.
Exactly.
That means you have an opportunity to learn something,
mm-hmm.
to reflect on yourself
mm-hmm.
and change what we have. Because every one of us, again, every relationship fails except for the one that doesn't. And in every relationship that we have,
mm-hmm.
there's one constant denominator there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's where it's like, and even in those instances that some people, I don't know if this is a thing, where people feel like they did everything accurate and still ended up in a breakup, then it's like, well, at least you have that peace of mind of knowing, hey, this wasn't me, this was them, right?
But even then,
right,
they have a part of that breakup.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's always a two-way street.
Mm-hmm. My last relationship ended with her cheating.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was her.
Right.
I could completely put everything on her.
Mm-hmm.
She cheated. She lied. She said she wanted to work things out. We tried for 6 months. She was continually cheating. It was her fault. She did it all.
Mm-hmm.
But let's really look at this.
Right.
It's not all that it is.
Right.
There was something there that I was not providing.
Mm-hmm.
Support, love, self-assurance for her. There is something there that I missed.
But unfortunately, that could have been easily resolved with the communication,
mm-hmm.
right? And that's where it's like, you know,
yep.
that plays a part too. But that's good that you're willing to recognize mm-hmm. it wasn't all her.
No. And I know where it was.
Not that it was justified by any means.
No, it's not justified, but nobody just goes out and cheats.
Right.
If you're, if you are stable within the relationship
mm-hmm.
and you've got all your needs being fulfilled,
mm-hmm.
you're not going to go out and cheat.
Yeah, I think it's all dependent on the type, again, like kind of also the foundation that you're building, you built to, and who you're with, and what their tendencies are.
But if they've got all their needs met,
yeah,
spiritually, emotionally, physically,
yeah,
then what's the point? They're not going to.
Right. They shouldn't. Because there shouldn't be a reason, no.
No.
Yeah.
People will do it because they don't feel like, they feel like there's something out there that's better because their needs aren't being met with the person that they're with.
Yeah. Well, I've also heard it's like they don't feel like they deserve the person that they're with.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's...
What was it? I saw a TED Talk and I can't remember exactly who gave it. But they had said infidelity is more about not being able to have fidelity within oneself.
Yes. Yes. That's beautiful. Good. I'm glad you knew that, what I was getting to, because, yeah.
Wish I could remember who actually said that.
Well, and it kind of goes back to, like, the whole self-love thing. Yeah. It's like, if you're not fulfilled within yourself, there's going to be parts of you that won't be fulfilled in the relationship because...
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of like that's an extension of yourself.
Yeah, you have to love yourself to be in a healthy relationship.
Yeah.
But, you know, you also have to give to that other partner.
Mm-hmm.
And that partner has to give to you.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, you're going to make dumb decisions because you're not going to allow your needs to be met because you don't love yourself enough to do that.
Right.
And I think you can kind of overcome that within a relationship, but it's much more difficult.
Yeah. You start to kind of overlook things that maybe you wouldn't have otherwise if you're like in a relationship for a really long time, or if you have kids with someone, because you start to go, well, this is someone that I'm, you know, really invested in. I put the time in. Like, you can notice those additional red flags and choose to overlook them due to circumstantial situations.
I think that's a mistake too.
Mm-hmm.
There's red flags, there's red flags.
Red flags, yeah. And the more involved you're in with those, the worse.
No. You either got to resolve them or you got to move on.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you think, I mean, it sounds like you've kind of worked through some of that codependency and gotten a lot better as far as recognizing it and developed more self-love for yourself, developed a more sense of self and know exactly kind of what you want.
Yeah.
What are we trying to ask here? What is it? What do you see your next relationship going towards? Or is that something that you even see within your future? Or is it something that you want to kind of stay single for a while and then maybe kind of go into that? Or what do you see what do you see yourself in that realm? How do you think things are going to be different once you start going back into, I don't know if you're dating now or if you're not, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But it's...
Dabbling. Flirting, I would say. Window shopping, is that what they call it? I don't know.
I don't know. You know, dating is so much different than it is when I was a kid. Not a kid, but even in my early 20s.
Right.
It's confusing.
It is confusing.
I don't like it.
Yeah. I don't think dating's ever been a fun thing, though, throughout the times, in my opinion.
It can be fun.
Yeah.
But
you gotta make it what it is, right?
Yeah. But how do you think things are gonna be different next time, now that you've got these tools?
I think just going forward, understanding, like, because I have some self-sabotaging behaviors with relationships. I have some crazy jealous tendencies. Yeah. Or at least I did. I'm really trying to work on that. And I think a lot of it stemmed from my insecurity of not feeling that self-love. Let's see. I'm trying to think what else. I think just understanding the independence and knowing how important that is for a person and not crossing boundaries between independence, that's going to, like, it's almost like I can't even compromise that anymore.
Wait, was that an issue? Compromising on boundaries?
Oh, 1,000%. I think it is in all codependent relationships because...
Well, I think it's a lack of boundaries.
It's just non-excess. It's not... Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
And that's something that everybody can work on. It's just dependent on how severe, right?
Oh, yeah.
And so I think, yeah, that's definitely, like, probably the one thing. I'm just saying, you know, I'm going to work on my career because that's, like, honestly what I'm being called to do right now. Mm-hmm. And anything else that happens to work out as it does, great. But what I need to know with myself is that I need to take things incredibly slow so that I can understand.
Good for you.
Yeah, because I think that's another thing that I used to do, like get way ahead of myself.
Yeah.
Cling to it. Like, oh, you're showing me all the things I like. Let me just like, you know.
I think that goes back to the infatuation of it feels good.
Exactly.
Let's do this.
Yeah, you just get a little too ahead of yourself. Mm-hmm. And let your emotions kind of get a little bit too much in charge at times. And so I think that's taking it slow is the best way to go with any relationship, really, because what do you have to lose? It's like, then if anything, you're friends and you have a good relationship, fine.
Yeah.
You're not losing anything. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, I think that's something that's like super important, because just establishing like, okay, where am I feeling comfortable with this? Or like, because that was something I did in the past two relationships, jumped right in and like clung to it in a very unhealthy way.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of like taking steps back and being, I think I'm much more rational now than I was then. I was much more like anxious about the whole thing. Like, oh, are they going to text me back? Blah, blah, blah. Now I'm to the point I'm like,
I think we've all been
fine.
There.
Yeah. I'm like, I don't really care either way. Like, take it or leave it. Like, I'm to that point of self-love. Like, I love myself so damn much. Like, I like to be with myself.
Yeah.
It's great.
It's, I think you're tired of the chase.
Yeah. I have pursued. And that's another thing I told myself. I'm not going to pursue the next person.
Mm-hmm.
Which, as you know, I did. I kind of almost slipped. I've had a couple weaknesses, like I said.
I think it's okay to pursue. I think it's not okay to chase. On the opposite side, I think it's not okay to make somebody else chase you.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, if you are interested, just say it.
Right.
And let's get this out. You know, let's... hey, I'm interested in you. You're not interested in me. Cool. Let's just, at least I've got a badass friend now.
Right.
You know, that's the problem that I hate is the chasing. I think there's a difference between pursuing and showing that interest.
Right.
And I think showing and saying and having that conversation is pursuit.
Right.
Chasing is playing that game.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a difference there.
And the continuous, like, oh, you're like, if you're always the first person to reach out or whatever it is, right? Mm-hmm. Like that type of like situation involving that too.
Yeah.
That's a red flag, y'all. Just so you know. If you're always having to reach out first, take a step back, because let them come to you. I mean, it has to be a two-way street. It has to be.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like you're playing games. It's like, it's in all fairness. And that's kind of what I've come to terms with too. And I feel like I'm being like I am playing games, but it's like, no, I need to be okay with the fact that I deserve just as much as what this person is requesting.
Yeah.
Or more.
I've got a
great
friend, and she's one of my best friends in here in Utah.
Mm-hmm.
One of my best friends. I've known her for years.
Mm-hmm.
And she always reminds me, don't be the one that puts in all the work.
Mm-hmm.
The other person has to put in work too.
Yeah.
Now, you may be putting in a little more work at times, and they may be putting in a little more work at times, but don't be the only one working.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's something that a lot of codependent people do, too, because it's just like, we're just giving. We like to do that.
Yeah.
We don't mind it.
I love giving to the person I'm with. Mm-hmm. Absolutely love it, adore it, and it makes me feel like I'm contributing.
Exactly.
I don't ever I have a hard time recognizing when they're not giving back.
Mm-hmm. But it's also part of, like, now that you have your own self-love and your own growth and something that you are pouring yourself into that does give you that fulfillment aside from a relationship.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, it's not as much of a need.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's
absolutely.
Just that passion that's like, this fulfills me in, like, maybe even more ways in certain aspects.
Mm-hmm.
I know that sounds really bad.
No, I get it.
Comparatively, especially with a bad relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask you something that's going to be a little, it's going to sound weird, and then I'll explain why.
Okay.
What's the longest time that you've been single? And I'm going to answer the question as well.
Yeah.
Because I think there's something that's really important into that.
Yeah.
That I've been thinking about it quite a bit over the last little bit.
Well, I was like a late bloomer, so it took me a while to actually like have a relationship. So that part of my life was single, but I wasn't
When you started dating, from the time that you started to kind of dating... What was the longest time that you had in between relationships when one would end?
I would say like a year.
A year?
Yeah.
Is it been this most recent time or?
No, that was like time before.
Time before?
Yeah, there was like a year break, I think. If that? Yeah.
And how long has it been since you've, because you haven't had a relationship since your divorce or your last relationship or?
It's been a little over a year.
A little over a year this time?
But the difference, I think, this time, too, mm-hmm. is that I'm in a much different place.
And that's where I'm going to, yeah.
Yeah,
that's
where you I'm feel getting that, at. Too? Yeah.
I, for me,
uh-huh.
prior to this time, because the actual breakup was end of January.
Mm-hmm.
It's been, what, 8 months now?
Mm-hmm.
Almost 9 months.
Mm-hmm.
That is the longest time I've ever been without a relationship.
Good for you.
You know?
That's, and look at how much you've accomplished.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, seriously, that's awesome.
And I'm good with it.
Yeah.
And I think that's the difference.
Right.
Because I'm all right with it. I'm not having to jump into another relationship to have validity.
Mm-hmm.
It's because I've felt good with where I'm at. I don't need somebody else there.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I long for it.
Right.
And
we
I
all
want
do.
That.
Yeah. And it's like I said, moments of weakness.
Mm-hmm. Moments of weakness. But you're saying the exact same thing.
Mm-hmm.
You were in a completely different spot.
Oh my gosh. I was so miserable. I don't even know how I landed a relationship. I was in such a low vibe state. But it's like, clearly that's why it was built on such a shitty foundation.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because I wasn't using discernment at all.
No.
It was just like, oh, this person looks good, and they look good on paper, so, yeah. Okay. You know what I mean?
This person looks good.
Yeah.
I think that's part of the problem,
though. I
didn't
even mean it like that, but that's...
No.
Yeah,
no.
Exactly.
But that's part of it, though.
Yeah, of course.
You know, that person's good looking, or I'm attracted to that person.
Right.
That's where my connection's coming from.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll figure everything else afterwards.
Yeah.
I think we need to flip that.
Mm-hmm.
I really do.
Yeah, I think taking things slow. Yeah. Friends first.
Absolutely.
I really think friends first in every relationship would benefit everyone.
Even if it's just for a month.
Mm-hmm.
3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Get to know that person and flip it.
Because you have to make sure, like, is this someone I can really get along with? Like,
because
mm-hmm. I think we all do that in relationships. The attraction might be there. But is it someone you can live with? Because I found that out the hard way, too.
Yeah.
A relationship can be, you can get along with someone fabulously until you live with them. I really learned that my first relationship. I was like, oh shit, we were good up until now.
Yeah.
Like, what happened?
Yeah, I know I'm hard to live with.
Yeah, everybody is. Everybody has their quirks. Don't get me wrong.
Quirks are beautiful,
it's
though.
Just how you can work together about it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
quirks are what makes a good relationship a good relationship, I think.
Right.
Those are the beautiful things. You talk about... You know, you talk to somebody that's been together with their spouse for 50 years,
mm-hmm.
and they leave or they go,
mm-hmm.
they pass, and you ask them, what do you miss about them? It's those always little things.
The subtleties.
Yeah. I hated it when how she ate broccoli, but I miss that. I miss how she used to always rub her feet against my legs when she was falling asleep.
Yeah.
It drove me nuts at the time,
right.
But I miss that.
Yeah, it's those, 'cause that's who makes that person them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we have to realize about our quirks or the things that we might feel insecure about or we might fall short on.
Yeah.
That's part of our makeup.
Yeah.
And all of those things are also what makes us so awesome. Like, on the flip side, you know, when we're looking at like personality quirks or whatever it is,
mm-hmm.
you know, I think those can, like, fall through in a positive way, too.
Yeah. Quirks in the idiosyncrasies of things,
mm-hmm.
those are the beautiful things.
They are.
Those are the beautiful things.
That's
those
what
are
makes
the good
us
stuff.
Unique.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's like, then we'd all be the same and have nothing to offer each other.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It is the little things that drive you crazy, though, especially. But, yeah, there's certain things that you're
beautiful.
Like, what did I sign up for? What the... This was not a good situation.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, why did it take me until this point to realize?
Yeah.
But live and learn, you know? And I think we've all been there, I hope, at least. I mean, it's kind of like, some people can just have that and be good.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, they can just vibe with people, and they're compatible. They find their high school sweetheart, and they're, like, set for life.
That's weird to me.
It is. I think it's great.
I think it's wonderful. I think it's beautiful. But
my life is so not like that.
Yeah, I've got a high school. I mean, we were like buddies, but a high school friend that he met his wife in high school. Yeah. They started dating in high school.
Same. That's why I mentioned that.
They married right after high school.
Yeah.
And they are still together.
Right. And they're happy.
I graduated in high school in 1995.
Yeah, that's. There you go.
25, 30 years? I don't want to do the math.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to do the math. I don't know. I'm not doing the math.
You're like, let me crunch some numbers.
That's too much. So we got 2005, 15, 25 years that they've been together?
That's a substantial amount of time, especially in this day and age.
Longer than 25 years because they started dating in high school.
Right.
So they're getting probably closer to 30 years that they've been together.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah, some people just have that type of...
Yeah.
I think, like, if there's people that are easygoing enough, they can just vibe with it. Or something.
Sometimes
I
think easygoing is not the right thing, because I'm pretty lax and easygoing about things.
Yeah.
But there are things that just... Nope.
Yeah.
We're not doing... No. I can't... You've got to squeeze the toothpaste from the bottom, not the middle.
You know what it is? Is that we're earth signs, and earth signs are notorious for being picky and perfectionist.
That is.
You're a Virgo.
Oh, I know I'm a Virgo, but I don't know what an earth sign is.
It's
or...
almost your birthday, right?
Yeah. I don't know. What's the date? It's...
And like, it's the, let's see, 5th?
The 5th?
6th. I don't remember. One of those days.
I don't know. It's
the 6th. It's the 6th.
It's like 2 weeks away.
Yeah, that's exciting.
Yeah.
Virgos are awesome. You guys are the smartest.
I know. Virgos are awesome. I don't know about the smartest, but we are...
No, you guys are very, very...
Pretty badass.
I have not met
fantastic.
A Virgo that's not just the fastest one on the ball. Like, mentally just... boom, boom. You guys are really quick.
We have our moments.
Yeah.
I don't know that I'm always quick.
Earth signs are like... I don't know. We can have some perfectionistic and picky tendencies, for sure. I know that Capricorns do. Like, I can be very picky.
Mm-hmm.
Picky. Like, nitpicky.
Yeah.
Obnoxious. Like, why? But I think it's my OCD. And that's part of it, too. Like, we all have our, like, you know, quirks.
There's things that we have to overlook. I mean, I mentioned squeezing the toothpaste from the middle.
Right.
My ex-girlfriend did that all the time. Drove me nuts.
Right.
But I had to overlook it.
Yeah.
And now it's kind of cute. Not really, because she doesn't live here anymore. So I get a squeeze from the bottom every single time, and it's fabulous. But it's one of those things, though, right?
Yeah, it is. Absolutely.
It's one of those things, if things would have worked out in 50 years, when she's dead, I'd probably die first, because I'm older than what she was. And men usually go first. That's what I would have remembered.
Yeah.
Squeezing the toothpaste in the middle of the tube.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Well, and it's like you said, you have to kind of, like, you can't be so rigid that it's like the make it or, obviously those aren't like deal breakers. It can be frustrating and annoying, but it's not like.
There are deal breakers and those things, it's like, it's not that big of a deal.
Yeah.
And you got to realize which is which.
Mm-hmm.
You know? It's fine.
Yeah. I get it though. Because there are those things that you're like, why?
Yeah.
And there are certain things that you realize, okay, I can't live with that. Next time around, no.
Yeah.
You know, I was too lax about it and I was easygoing about it, but now I'm putting my foot down and saying no.
Yeah.
Because it's just too much, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Certain tendencies people have, like, I don't know, smoking or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What
not,
is it?
Not your smoking, the other type of smoking.
Oh, the 420 smoking.
Yeah, the 420 smoking. Yeah.
The devil's lettuce.
The devil's lettuce.
The whatever else.
Which I don't judge. Again, I don't judge. I've dated two people that were very heavily into that. But I'm just saying, like, there were too many times I overlooked it that I kind of felt like I was losing a little bit of my integrity in a certain way. Like,
it doesn't matter. You know, if it's something that you don't want...
Mm-hmm.
It's something you don't want.
Exactly.
And that's okay.
Right. You can't
whatever.
Compromise. Yeah, and I did that for the second. I was like, you know, it's okay. Like, I can live with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I knew it wasn't going to be as big of a deal. But at the same time, it's like, it's still having some negative influences, and it did in both relationships.
Impact it.
So it's kind of, for the worse. So it's like, I'm just Yeah.
That's not what you want.
Mm-mm.
And it's okay to say, this is what I want, this is what I don't want.
Mm-hmm. And even if it does feel a little, like, nitpicky or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. Have you written down the things that you want?
Yes.
Good for you.
I have a very long list.
There's no problem with that.
Back to the pickiness.
You know? I think it's important to be able to put it out there.
Mm-hmm.
Put it out on paper. Put it out on a notepad, on a computer, on a phone, you know. And it's just not in your head. It's something you can refer back to.
Yeah.
So you don't have to remember it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think it's a great guide.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that way, if you are having what I like to call a moment of weakness, where you're like, oh, but, you know, this person has this and this, so I think that could work, right? And then it's like, no. Let me be in integrity with myself and check myself and say, hey,
have that personal
is this real? Yeah. Like, is this going to be when you know it's not? Because I think your intuition will tell you that, too.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Like, you'll know deep down, I think we know. But we choose to ignore it because it can be the easier thing at the time, or it can go against what we feel we want.
It gives you an opportunity. Those lists give you an opportunity to be objective.
Mm-hmm.
Now, not everybody's going to mark every one of those boxes.
Yeah, like you said, it's good to have. And I like that you said that, because that was a good point.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes I think I can be so perfectionistic that it's like, I don't think this person exists. Like, this isn't a human being. That's not fair. But it's like compromises, like you said. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's a puppy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I love what you talked about, too, with the quarantine, about, like, how the dogs were going to miss their owners.
Yeah.
I think you're right about that. That's really thoughtful. And my niece was telling me that their dogs, because my sister went back to work, and now she's back in school, the dogs are, they're acting out, actually.
They're like, what's going on here? You've been here for 6 months.
Yeah.
You know?
They're feeling it, for sure. Yeah.
Absolutely. So, it's,
shout out to the puppies and the animals. We love them.
It is, you do listen to every episode.
Yeah, well,
that's fantastic.
I've listened to some, I can't say all, but
that's okay.
The ones I have listened to, they were worth listening to, absolutely.
I don't know where my train of thought went. It's okay. You have to have that idea.
I think so.
And I think, like we've been talking about this whole time, is it comes back to ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
It comes back to us knowing who we are, loving who we are, doing the work within ourselves, and that work is incredibly difficult sometimes.
Oh, it's hard for everyone, and it's an ongoing thing.
It's an everyday thing.
It's like, yeah, I don't think we get to our fullest self-obtainment until the day we die. You know,
I hope not.
Take it or leave it. I mean, if you are continuously growing and intending on doing so, that's how it should be.
Yeah, well, I can agree with that. You have to continue to grow and want to grow every single day.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, the growth never ends.
And there's going to be setbacks, but it's like, as long as you're keeping yourself mainly on track, that's what's important too.
Yeah.
Because we're human.
Absolutely. We're going to set back in things, but as long as we've got progress, we can take 2 steps forward and take a step back. That's still a little bit of progress, as long as we're taking 2 steps forward without taking a step back more than we are taking a step back. You know, even if we take 3 steps forward and take 1 step back, you still move 2 spaces.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, you're still moving a space. It's just going to be a slower process. Yeah.
And that goes back, I think that can also be a lot of the self deprecation that we can all do to ourselves. Like, we all kind of have those tendencies.
Yeah. Gotta stop that.
Yeah, because I do that. I do that. And I know why I'm doing what I'm doing. That's the worst part.
Yeah, I do it because it's funny.
Yeah.
But that's wrong. I've learned that when you self-deprecate yourself, you're telling yourself it's okay that you got these things and you are those things that you're being self-deprecating about.
Mm-hmm. And
it's
like,
not okay.
Yeah, is that the word I'm also looking for? When you're like doing things to, not self-harm, but like self, not putting yourself in the best situation that you could. Is that, I feel like there's another word that I'm looking for that would be more like appropriate for what I'm trying to say.
Just
sabotage when self-sabotaging. Yourself.
Yeah.
Because I think we all do that too.
To an extent, until we start recognizing that that's what we're doing.
Yeah.
And that can be a hard thing.
Because sometimes I do, I'm like, I know why I'm doing this, and I still fall back in that pattern.
Stop it.
I'm stubborn as hell, and it's like annoying.
Stop it.
Why do I do that? I don't know.
I don't know. Just stop. We're done.
Self-love. we'll find the way.
Yeah.
Self-love will show us through that.
Well, it's the self-love. It's the self-awareness. It's being holding yourself accountable,
mm-hmm.
knowing that you're going to go and do these things that may self-sabotage,
mm-hmm.
but recognizing, okay, I'm heading down this path. It's time to turn around.
Exactly. Yeah. Creating
it's
better habits.
Tough.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you'll continue to do it.
Yeah.
Until you stop.
I feel like we're in a sauna right now.
In a sauna? Yeah.
This is like a steam session. You should.
Yeah. No. Yeah, I turn off the air conditioning because you can hear the hum.
The background noise, yeah.
Yeah.
So we're currently literally like changing our vibe as we speak.
It's good for you. We're releasing toxins.
Yeah, we're secreting.
We're doing good.
Negative energies. We're like in a steam yoga session.
Except there's no yoga.
Except there's no yoga.
Because nobody wants to see me do yoga.
Oh, come on.
Nobody wants to see me in yoga pants.
Who are you speaking on behalf of? Come on.
Me?
Okay.
And the rest of the world.
But people share things that other people don't want to see for the sake of the internet. It's out there.
I'm sure it is, but I...
That's why they have those memes, absolutely no one. And then those, you know, they have those joking memes. I love those, yeah.
But those things, those people aren't me, because I know nobody wants to see me in a pair of yoga pants.
Okay, well...
I don't even think they make men's yoga pants. They probably do.
They do. I don't know how they fit, though. That's, a really good point. I would love to see how those fit. Like, what? That would be interesting.
They fit like yoga pants.
But, yeah, okay. Interesting.
I mean, yoga pants are yoga pants.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm not sure how that works, but, hey.
I'm not buying them.
Not buying them. What about for comfort?
I wouldn't even know if they're comfortable.
Well,
I hear that they are.
That's where you're missing out, yeah.
Well, maybe I'll buy some. I mean, I'll wear them to Walmart. I'll fit right in. We're good.
Anything goes at Walmart. You can wear anything and you'll be just fine. You'll probably be actually better off than most. Just kidding. That's me. We shouldn't go there.
It's fun.
I like it when people feel empowered to be themselves, even if it's very different than what society would expect.
Isn't that what we really want?
We all deserve it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We all have that free will.
Mm-hmm.
And we all should be loved enough to be accepted in however mm-hmm. we want to show up for life. It's just when people do it for attention, then maybe that's not necessarily the right, you know, integrity to have for that, something like that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I can't say I've done stuff for attention. I think we all do. So.
Oh, yeah. We all want attention. We all want to be recognized. It's part of human nature. It's just... Our motive, I don't know. We want to be recognized. We want to be loved.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean that we... And I think the more that we want to be recognized
mm-hmm.
and the motive... Depending on what the motivation is,
we're
replacing that recognition instead of really recognizing ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Because if there are certain things that we do that maybe aren't in integrity... As long as it's in integrity with anyone,
mm-hmm.
that's the other thing too. More power to you.
Yeah.
Whatever that looks like, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if you know it's something that doesn't sit right, then you do have to, like, have that conversation with yourself. Like, okay, where was I coming from where I felt like this was the appropriate thing to do?
Right.
And why? Because was it in alignment with me? You know? And if it is,
mm-hmm.
then that's all that matters. It's kind of like we just talked about, too, with, like, if it feels right to you, then by all means, as mm-hmm. long as it's not harming other people.
If it's not destructive to yourself, it's
mm-hmm.
not destructive to anybody else.
Yeah.
And you feel good about it.
Mm-hmm. Like, at all levels, too. Not just,
mm-hmm.
like, because there's things we can feel good about, but we don't feel good about.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You got to deep dive in that.
Yeah. Because it's you can feel good for a second, but then afterward be like, wait, what was that? What
did I just do? Do you feel good or does it bring you joy?
Yes.
You know, it has to bring you joy.
Yeah.
Joy will bring you a deeper level of happiness.
The fulfillment. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And everybody has that opportunity to choose how they do that.
Mm-hmm. Free will.
Absolutely.
It's beautiful. And we all have that power to do it at any given time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's nothing set in stone.
Yeah.
And I think that's important for people to hear, because I think we can get so caught up in the... This is what I'm supposed to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
So this is therefore what I'm going to be doing, when that's not how we have to perceive that.
Right.
We can make those baby changes to, you know, improve what we think our life is lacking.
And that's what it is.
Yeah.
Baby changes.
Baby changes.
Small steps.
simple. And that's where it starts. And we overcomplicate it by being like, well, this is too far of a reach.
Mm-hmm.
That's too far. And my part of, like, you know, what I have an issue with is, like, when I found that intriguingness with, like, my soul's calling, I got ahead of myself. I was so passionate. I was, like, not sleeping. And then
you got to take care of yourself.
It was, like, a bad situation because I was, like, I was working, being a mom, and then going deep diving into, like, myself, but to the point of, like, not, like, you know, being reckless in a way, not being as responsible as I should have been. And I look back on that now and I realize that there's some changes I could have made, but if it feels right, it's hard to, like, slow down with the passion because it's like, this is like, I finally felt like I was finding myself.
I don't know that you have to slow down with the passion, but you have to organize that passion to be able to hone it and focus it in the right direction.
Yes, and that's something I definitely have an issue with, is focusing. I can come up with a lot of great ideas, but following through and focusing, that's where I struggle.
Focus it.
Yeah.
I mean, the passion is so powerful.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Follow the passion. Love yourself.
Yeah.
Be who you are. Mm-hmm. Find joy.
Yeah.
You know, I think with that, I mean, it's pretty long. I mean, if we're looking at it, almost an hour, 40 minutes. It's been a great conversation, though.
I think so.
But I think with that, let's... It's in there, you know. Love yourself, follow your passion, focus it, and just go after
it. And know you deserve it too. I think we all just need to know we deserve it. That's why we're here. It's part of the human experience.
Yeah.
We're not here to be miserable. We're not here to be just existing. We're here to be fulfilling our dreams and finding fulfillment in those small moments.
Yeah.
Finding joy.
Yeah. Let's go experience things and have love. And in the process, find out who we are and find that person that will love us for who we are and that we can love them for who they are.
Mm-hmm. That authentic.
And when you can find that, it's going to be amazing.
Yeah.
I think. Maybe. I've never been there yet.
I know, right?
So I don't know. So maybe.
I think that we'll both find it. I think it's having the faith too, you know, just knowing that, like, you have it.
It's the patience.
The patience.
To wait for it, you know.
Because if you can achieve it for yourself, why wouldn't you be able to achieve it with someone else?
Absolutely.
And that's kind of where you have that, like, self-confidence with it. Because it's like, well, if I've done this for myself, which I never thought possible, I should be able to attract someone that has that within themselves.
Well, you may attract somebody that doesn't, but you're going to recognize that they don't, and you're not going to waste your time with that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. Well, perfect.
Yeah,
you know, this has been fun. We'll do it again.
Yes.
It sounds like we've got a lot more that we can talk about. So
yeah, it's been fun.
We'll do it again.
It really has. We always talk like our first conversation was...
What?
I kept you up way too late.
Yeah,
it was
okay.
A long... But you're an old soul, so...
Yeah, it's all right.
You know how to delve into those topics.
I think we started the conversation about midnight, and my headphones actually died.
Yeah, and I know my phone was dying, like, at the very end. It was, like, at 1%. I was like, oh.
Yeah, I think it was about 3 hours or so.
Yeah.
Which was amazing, which is why we decided to come in and do this.
Right.
To continue it.
Mm-hmm.
But we can go on even longer. But we'll have to do another episode or have you come back in and...
I would love that.
And do that again.
It's been a blast.
It's been great.
Yeah.
And hopefully it'll be a little cooler in here, so we're not
in a sauna. I think it's awesome. I like the heat. I'm one that actually likes the heat. So.
We'll lay out some yoga mats.
You got to get those pants. I'll tell you what.
I'll get some yoga pants, and we'll get some yoga mats. We'll do some yoga before, and we'll talk about that.
And fans, you know you want to see Paul in some yoga pants. Maybe not the male fans, but females, let us know.
You never know.
There's some even crazier fetishes, so I think you're fine.
I think that's what we're going to call the episode. Yoga pants.
Yoga pants?
Yeah.
Just throw people off. Male yoga pants.
Male yoga pants.
In a hot, steamy room. Just kidding.
Yeah, maybe not the hot, steamy room. That'd be a little... Yeah, we're good there. All right. Well, until next time, you be good, be well.
Bye.